Welcome to the Potter's House Reynoldsburg Message of the Week. We are one church in four locations that desires to see the broken made whole. We pray this message speaks to your heart and your spirit.
Talk to you about something else. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, it says, "And Elijah, the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, 'As the Lord God of Israel lives before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word.' Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan.'" I want to talk to you about those words in verse 3 that says, "Get away from here and turn." Get away from here and turn. Powerful. Where did those words come from? Well, God spoke it. Get away from here and turn. Question is, why did God say that to Elijah? Well, in verse 1, Elijah delivered a prophetic word or a prophetic command, and he said to Ahab, "There will be no rain." Now, that's not a good word to say to somebody. You're not going to have rain for 7 years. So in verse 1, we find a man that is just basically obedient to the voice of God. He's obedient. So verse 1 is the spirit of obedience. Why are you in this church this morning? Because the prompting of the Holy Spirit brought you here. Not social media, not Pastor Michael advertising. It's actually the prompting of the Holy Spirit that brought you here. So you have been obedient by coming to a gathering of the believers. That's powerful. And the moment you are obedient, things can happen. Because God always honors obedience. God always honors somebody that say yes to what he demands. The moment he said yes, he actually caused a problem, because the word that he delivered was not that popular. And God realized, "I'll have to protect my servant. I'll have to protect my friend. I'll have to protect my prophet." How many of you realize that when you're obedient to the voice of God, your protection is guaranteed? Come on. As long as I'm obedient to God, my protection is guaranteed. And church, I don't have the time to give you the examples of why I say that. And then that word came, and where God said to him, "Get away from here and turn." Now, I love the word here, H-E-R-E. Get away from here. We all have a H-E-R-E. We all have a here, a situation. It could be a physical address. It could be a place where you are in the spirit. It could be a season where you are. It could be a day that you're living in. We all have a place, a here. And we all say, "God, how will I get out of this? How will I move from where I am to where I need to be?" God says, "Get away from here and turn." Some of you sit here this morning and you say, "I need to move, but I don't know where to go to. I need to give the next step, but I don't know where to." Get away from here and turn. Now, you must understand that they're going to chase this prophet. They're going to seek him out. But the neat thing about God is that God already knew where is the future safe places of this prophet. Come on. If you're obedient, God already knows what is your future safe places. If you want to live safely in the future, be obedient today. It's just the way God works. So when he said to him, "Get away from here and turn," that was actually a relief. I mean, when I am obedient to the voice of God in my life tomorrow is a guarantee. God will not expect me to be obedient today and tomorrow he leave me alone and he just turns his back on me. No, he guarantees he will walk with me. In Psalm 55, verse 6, we find David, and David wrote in the Psalms, he says, "So I said, 'Oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. David had a desire for wings. He said, I wish I had the wings. He probably watched a dove, and he realized the only thing the dove do is he opened his wings and he's gone. And many times you and I desire wings. We wish we had wings to fly away from our H-E-R-E here. Come on. When you look at Acts chapter 2, you're going to find that God gave the church wings, the wings of the Holy Spirit. How many of you felt a lift this morning in your spirit just in the praise and worship? What happened? The Holy Spirit gives you wings, but I'm not going to talk about wings. I was actually thinking to talk about wings and eagles and things like that, but I steered away from that. So don't blame me, blame God. Okay? So here we have God in verse 3. He says, get away from here and turn and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. I love how God directs our footsteps when we are obedient. I spoke to Pastor Michael in the car, and he made a statement. He said, if you say yes, God will take that yes, and he will steer you into the future. I remember how I said yes to the Lord when it comes to this upper room command and where we are now and what's happening and who is stirred by it. And I want to say to you today, God says, I will cover you, I will protect you, and I will send you into the future, into safe places, because of your obedience. So it says here, he said, and I want you to go and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. So here, God is steering this prophet to a safe place because of the act of obedience in verse 1. And I just love it how God covers me because of obedience. Obedience is a powerful key in the life of everybody. So he said, I want you to go and hide by the brook Cherith, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. He directs me from my H-E-R-E here, and he takes me to a place called there, where he will feed me. You know, the moment I'm obedient, my eating and drinking is covered. Come on. The moment I'm obedient, my budget is covered. My welfare is covered. Come on, church. This is powerful. You don't need to worry about the budget over here if you've been obedient when God said to you, be obedient. He said, I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. I have commanded. God already spoke to your future source. Your future source already know about you, although you don't know about them. Why? Because when I'm obedient, my God works on my behalf. It's amazing. He said, I've commanded the raven. So he went and he did according to the word of the Lord. He went and he did according to the word of the Lord. Come on, church. We are living by the word of the Lord. We are covered by the word of the Lord. We are directed by the word of the Lord. We are sent by the word of the Lord. And we need to see more of this back in the church, where we live from a now prophetic word of the Lord. And we just see how, I mean, last year in June, I was on the island of Aruba, and I ministered there from Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning, and I was under the misunderstanding that I will minister the Sunday night. And I were not scheduled to minister the Sunday night. A lady from France were ministering the Sunday night. She's very strong in the prophetic, originally from New York. She and her husband live in France for many, many years and travel into Europe. And I said to the pastor, he said, Brother Ronda, you can have off tonight. I said, no, I want to come to this evening service. I'm flying out tomorrow. If I knew, I could have flown out earlier that day, but I did not know. So I went to this meeting, and sitting in the front row, and this lady took the microphone, and she started to minister, and she walked right up to me, and she prophesied. And she just said to me, you are in the middle of a major transition. She said, what God is going to do now is going to go national and global. Prophesying about Global Prayer Alliance. She did not say Global Prayer Alliance. She did not say Upper Room. But I knew already in June who am I talking to and what's going on behind the scenes? So what happened here? Because I have been obedient to the voice of God, doing what I had to do, God sent a word on the island of Aruba on a Sunday night to a woman through a woman from France to come and tell me, you're on track. It's going national and globally. This week I was in Philadelphia filming for television. This week we will go to New York filming for television. You see, if you're obedient, your future words are guaranteed. If you're obedient, your future prophecies that you will need is already taken care of. Not only your eating and your drinking, even your words. Don't get excited. It's not that good. I'm just saying what I need to say. Amen? Come on, church. We're talking about get away from here and turn. I want to say to many of you, get away from what you're doing and ask the Lord what's next. Don't be stale and don't be rigid. And don't be stuck in yesterday. Come on, let's move into the future. Amen? Let's move with a cloud. God's going to do incredible things that the tongue of man cannot articulate. And that we are standing on the threshold of such a time. Amen? So, he said to him, the ravens, the Bible says in verse 6, the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. So here we have God's prophet sitting at a brook. Now ravens are a strange bird. Ravens eat meat. And God said to the raven, I want you to not to eat that meat. I want you to take it to my prophet. God, when you're obedient, God will even change the law of nature. Come on. Come on, when I'm obedient, come on, I've read about my friend who were obedient and came in alignment with God's will, and when he needed more time, he said, Lord, can you stop that big globe that you that big light that you made called the sun? Sun was on track, bing, stopped. Why? Nature will do what nature was not called to do when the creator of nature sees a man and a woman being obedient. God will command nature to change its nature. Now, it's not that good. I get more response from this side, so I'm going to focus more here. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, when nature does not do what nature is called to do, just because I'm obedient, come on. That's the power of obedience. That's what obedience will give to you in your lap when you are willing to go against the majority, or go against the grain, and just do what, say what needs to be said. Okay, thank you, sir. Praise the Lord. Okay, so the ravens did not eat what they normally eat. So God said, yeah, thank you, brother. I can see you are the right man to talk to. The ravens did not eat what they normally eat. They lost their appetite. They lost their appetite. They can't believe it. I think the one raven said to the other one, are you sure? And the other one said, well, we've got no option. I lost my appetite for meat. I'm now a vegetarian from now on. No, why? They turned into vegetarians as long as Elijah the prophet had to be fed by them. You will change your style just because of me. You will change your... Oh, come on, church. This is powerful. And I haven't even started yet. Jesus. I don't know where that came from. I like it. Nature changed its nature because of my obedience. I haven't wrote that down. Can you please make a note and give it to me after the service? I would like a copy of this preaching today, amen? I'm shaking like Elvis Presley. Brother, don't say too much. You're gonna stir me up. And the Bible says, and he drank from the brook. Everybody say, my obedience is my future protection. So watch this. And it says, and it happened after a while that the brook dried up. So now the brook dried up. Why? he prophesied no rain. So when he prophesied no rain, that prophecy now had an effect on the same brook where he had to get water from. How many of you realize that sometimes a season will pass? And there's many people, they don't know what seasons is all about. Come on. When I came out of my hotel this morning, I thought, Lord, is Ohio confused or what's going on? Because the season that I'm in is not the season that I'm supposed to be in. But, of course, this is Ohio. So you cannot, but in other places the seasons is normal. But in Ohio, it's kind of abnormal this morning. I hope it's better tomorrow. So the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. So here we notice something that God sent him to the brook, and now the brook becomes irrelevant because when the water level go down, it's a sign that there's another season coming. There's times that you and I, and I'm just speaking prophetically this morning, I'm not really preaching. When you and I sometimes ride a wave, how many of you realize you can only ride a wave in the ocean as long as the wave is strong? I remember in the 90s, late 90s, when I was in South Africa, I grew up at the ocean. I was on a high. I was traveling the world, and I said to the Lord, "Why must I go to America? Why can I not stay? Why must I make adjustments now?" And the Lord said to me, "You can ride this wave that you're on until you eat sand." How many of you realize if you don't get off the wave on time, you're going to eat sand? I ate sand in the natural in the ocean. And the Lord said to me, but get off this wave before you crash because I'm taking you into a new season. And church, we need to learn how to ride the wave. And when the water level go down, we need to say, it's time to move on. It's time to move on. Now watch this. Watch this. And I'm just breaking this whole chapter up and just speaking to you as I read it. And the word of the Lord came to him. Come on. God knows when your water level goes down, and God knows when to send your next word. I love God. He's amazing. He sends me to a certain season and a water place where I can eat and drink. But when he sees the water level is going down, it was his word who said no rain. So sometimes his word for a season will come to an end. But when he noticed that that word is now coming to an end, he will introduce another word. And we are in the body of Christ at a place where God is giving fresh commands, where God is giving fresh prophecies, where God is bringing a fresh momentum, where God is bringing a fresh stirring, where America will see another awakening. Hallelujah. I don't want to go into awakenings, but if you look at the history of America, you will notice that America has always been rescued by an awakening. Come on. America has always been rescued by awakenings. Why? It's not, you know, there's something that God is doing in this nation that you don't always see in other nations. God is rescuing this nation by awakenings. Why? Because the mandate upon this nation is to preach the gospel into the world and support Israel. And I will not go into the mandate now, but that's why when you study history, when I look at history and I see all the awakenings, I'm actually seeing more than awakenings. I'm seeing the footprint of the Holy Spirit. And I can go from the 1600s and look at the footprint of the Holy Spirit of awakenings in this nation up to Azusa Street, but then when I see the footprint of the Holy Spirit in the past, that gives me an indication of where we're going. Come on. If you want to find somebody in the forest, follow the footprint. And now that I watch the footprint of the awakenings, I say, my Lord, we already have the same signs that they previously had when the previous awakening had to come. And when we see the signs in America today and even in the political world, that tells me there is another footprint of the Holy Spirit coming, and God is going to put his feet down on this nation and it will rain again. Come on, church. God is in control. And if the water level of America is going down in the last years, the water level of America has gone down. Why? Because God says, I'm going to push this nation into a new direction. I am in control. This is not a political party's nation. This is God's people. We are God's. We are ordained by God to be in this nation. And I'm telling you, God has an end-time revival in mind. And this nation is going to play a key role. And that moment has come. Amen. Everybody shout, it's the change of seasons. In the spirit. Okay. So the word, okay, can I preach a little bit more? We have lots of time, I think. And arise and go to, so the Lord came to him and said to him in verse 9, he says, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded. You know, God is amazing. He talks to my sources without my permission. Man, he's amazing. I don't know, but I feel in my spirit there's already people that God spoke to about me. I got a text this week from my daughter. She works for me. And she texts me. She says, Dad, there are people that want to know certain things about you. It has something to do with some of my expenses. They want to know about certain expenses you have, but they don't want you to know who they are. And I said to her, I texted her back. I said, do you know who they are? She said, I think I have an idea, but even if I have an idea, I'm not supposed to tell you. I said, well, I want to know who they are. And she says, I cannot tell you. I said, now, why do they want to know? They said, no, they are just stirred up by the Holy Ghost. Can you see what's happening here? God is talking to certain people about my stuff, and he did not ask me permission to talk to them. Come on. How many of you believe that God is already working on your resources? He's already working on your resources. Come on, you should be happy. He's talking to somebody about your financial needs and you don't even know about it. He's talking to, come on. Wow. So he said, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow. A widow? A widow? I mean, God, can't you talk to a multimillionaire? Why do you talk to a widow? You know, sometimes God's sources doesn't look impressive. I've learned one thing about God. Be careful when he opens up a resource. Be careful to comment. I mean, in my past, I've seen the strangest people become the great miracle resources. Never, please. He says, a widow, and she will provide for you. Wow. Now, why is this happening? Because of verse 1. You see, verse 1, obedience were put in place. And the moment obedience is put in place, a ripple effect of a God-intervented lifestyle will come on. Come on. My future is already guaranteed because of my past obedience. It's amazing. I remember in 1981-82 when Roger Teal prophesied to me, and you will live by faith and you will go to the north and the south and the east and the west. And he showed up 2 years ago in the upper room, and you will go to America and this will happen, and then you will go into the nations. I said, my God, I was an accountant before I was in the ministry. So I'm a numbers guy. 1 and 1 is 2, 2 and 2 is 4. 2 and 2 has never been 5. So to say to an accountant, just being obedient and I will take care of you is difficult. It was hard for me to accept that I'm going to live by faith. But now 39 years later, I prefer not to be an accountant anymore. Because I've learned that when I'm obedient, he messes with my resources. And when I get to my, somewhere in my future, Come on. Everybody say, somewhere in my future. Somewhere in my future, I'm going to walk right into a resource, and I'm going to say, but hello, resource. Hello, old woman. You don't look good. You look like you should be in a nursing home. But I was told by God that you will take care of me. It does not make sense. Somebody say, I'm about to step into my future resource, and I will not criticize. Okay. I'm going to try and say something else so maybe it will get better. I'm not sure because the response is not that good. But let's try something else here, okay? I have commanded the widow. So he arose and he went to Zarephath, and he went and he came to the gate of the city. Indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks. Not a good picture. Oh, my goodness. Gathering sticks. I don't want to preach about sticks. All I can say is I don't like sticks. It doesn't look good. She was gathering sticks, and he called to her, and he said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. Now, in the first place, you don't talk to a widow like that. But you see, when you have a command, you can talk to the resource in a way that you not normally talk to the resource. So he said, bring me something to drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and says, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So he's basically saying to the resource, bring me the water and the bread that you're supposed to give me. In the previous situation, he was sitting at the brook and he did not command. The birds just arrived. Come on. You see, that's our problem. Sometimes in the previous season, God will do it this way, and then we expect he's going to do it in this season the same. Come on. You cannot do church the way you did it in 1940 and expect it's going to work in the year 2019. Come on. The praise and worship is going to change. There's a lot of things that's going to change. Come on. I mean, 20 years ago, we had no social media. Today, we cannot work without social media. Amen? I mean, it's amazing what we can do today. So, now watch this. So she said, as the Lord your God loves, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, and that we may eat it and die. Oh, my goodness. She's negative. She expects death. She's horrible. I mean, don't send me to that. Come on. Oh, I tell you what. I've been there, done that. I bought the t-shirt of that verse. I bought the CD of that verse. I've got a lot of recordings on that verse. Been there, done that. Wow. It's amazing when God sends you to a place and he sends you there and they tell you, hey, man, we're about to die. We're going to die. You ask bread. I don't have bread. Come on, get away. In the meantime, she knows God told her this guy is coming. Coming. Isn't that powerful? Sometimes in your situation, God will send something to you, and you will look at it and you will say, I don't know how I'm going to take care of this. But because of the man standing in front of you, you will take care of that. You say, well, I'm in a mess. But God sends a prophetic voice to you, and the very prophetic voice will be the reason why you will be able to take care of him. Because Elijah is a type of God. He's a prophet. He represents God's word. When he stood in front of her house, now I want to use her as a type of the church. She's a widow. She's a type of the church. And what did she say? She said, I'm going to gather sticks. We're going to make a fire. We're going to bake our last cake, and me and my son, we will die. The word son means ministry. The word son means carrier of future generations. The word son was the greatest honor a woman could have in the Old Testament. So here we have a church. that has a ministry that's supposed to touch future generations, but she's bankrupt in her spirit. That's a prophetic picture of the church. The church has lost its way. It's bankrupt. It speaks negative. The ministry is not going to make it. Both is going to die. But God sends a prophetic word to the church and say, treat the word the way you should treat the word, and the very word standing in front of you will rescue you. Come on. That's amazing. It's like God is saying, you will take care of the prophet because of what the prophet will tell you to do. You say, well, how will I accomplish this and how will I accomplish that? You will accomplish it because when you embrace the word that comes to you this morning, you will be able to do tomorrow what you could not do today. My God. The reason she can take care of the prophet is because of the prophet standing in front of her. Come on. You say, well, I came to this house, I'm bankrupt. The reason you can take care of tomorrow is because of what you hear right now. What did you do? You sowed a financial seed into an offering this morning. I don't normally talk like that, but basically you sowed a seed into our ministry. Now you receive a word that's going to keep, come on. Maybe you sowed a seed that you think, I cannot afford to do this. Well, now I give you a word that's going to secure your future. This is not the New York Times. I'm not reading from the New York Times. I'm not reading from the Washington Post. I'm not reading from a local newspaper. I'm reading from the living word. I'm reading from a word that if you believe this, it's going to cause a ripple effect of provision into your future. Come on, don't miss the moment. I'm giving you bread, I'm giving you oil, I'm giving you a future, and I'm giving you security, and I'm postponing your death sentence. Come on. I'm telling you, you will not die when you thought you're going to die, because she thought she's going to die, and the prophet said, if you bake me a cake, you will not die when you thought you will die. So she said, Lord, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go and prepare for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. Okay, I'm just reading the scripture. I have a few notes here, but I lost my way there, so I'm rather stay with the word. That's my notes, and this is God's word. This was supposed to be part of God's word, but this has lost its way. This is God's word. Okay. So she said, okay. So Elijah said to her, do not fear, go and do as the Lord hath said. But bake me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. Watch what he says. Bake a small cake from it and bring it to me first. 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 Please. I know you want to put yourself first, woman. You said you and your son is first. No, no, no. Turn it around. Make me first. If you can just change the order, I will change your future. If you can just switch the order, I can probably add 20 years to your life. But don't eat the cake, because if you eat it, it will be your last cake. But if you give it away, you will have a bakery in the future. Come on. Don't eat your bakery. Don't eat your tomorrow. Don't eat your future now. Come on. Give your present away, and I'll give your present day away, and I will secure your future. Come on, my future is wrapped up in my cake that I baked today. So Elijah said, put me first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all the other things will be. Come on, if you want added, seek first. Get the first right and the added is a guarantee. Okay, so Elijah said to her, do not fear and go and do as you have said, but bake me a cake first. You see, again, I want to say it again, he represents God. He is the prophetic voice standing in front of a door, and that's a prophetic picture of the church today. For many, many years, we have preached model sermons that comes out of Bible schools and universities. Yeah. We call it sometimes Google sermons. You know, we knew exactly how to do this church thing, and we've steered away from a now word, a prophetic word, that if we just come on, and that we are coming back to this day. So here we have Elijah. The second source is completely different than the first source. The first source was a river, ravens waiting, they're going to come to me. The second source, he actually speaks to the source. The second source, he actually restored the order of the source because they had them first on the agenda. And God says, no, no, no. In this source, the church, I need to, you cannot be first. I am first. I am the great I am. I'm first. I'm God. And I want to say to you today, even in my own life, we need to get the order right so that we can move on. And what happened here, he said to our, for thus says the Lord. Now there comes the word. Now there come a thus says the Lord. Come on. Thus says the Lord. He says, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain. So now God gives her a word. God says, if you want your future to be guaranteed, don't eat the cake. If you want to destroy your future, eat it. If you want to destroy your future, do your own thing. But if you want to secure your future, get rid of your style and how you've done things, your concept, your thinking, change it. I am in the middle of a transition. I would love my ministry. I mean, I'll be honest with you, church. I had everything set, all my horses running in the right race, right direction, planning on paper. Now comes this GPA thing, and I'm going to talk to the board in a few weeks' time, of which your pastor is one of our four board members. Tim Oldfield, myself, and two others. Church of God, Assemblies of God, Independent, and then African Americans, albinos. I just had to throw that in because some of you are so sour-faced. I just need to do something to get a smile out of you. Come on. But I'm going to talk to them. I'm going to say to them, hey, guys, this GPA thing is stirring the waters. Because I just heard this week about financial challenges that will come, but it's because of how big this thing is. So what am I saying to you? When your seasons change, there will be a challenge. But God will guarantee the future if you will just change your order. I'm changing my order. I'm in the middle of a major transition. 32 nations in South America to go to in 2020. 9 in Europe. Not even talking about Africa, not even talking about East Asia. What's going on? If I want to have that, if I want to get a grip on the nations, I need to change my home, my house, my spiritual house, my concept, my ideas. Amen? Okay, so he said to him, the flour and the jar will not dry up. So she went away, and she did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many, many days. Now watch this. In verse 14, there's one phrase that's very important. The prophet said, as long as the rain stays away, your bin of flour and your jar of oil will be taken care of. So he connected it to the rain. Can you see that? He connected it to the rain. Why? Because in verse 1, Elijah prophesied no rain. So that prophecy introduced a season over the earth or a season over the land. But now God comes to this woman and he says, no, no, no. Although there is a season in this land of no rain, I will make you the exception. That word in verse 1 over the land will not be applicable on you, old woman. Because, old woman, you are the exception, taking care of my prophet. That's why the natural disaster will not hurt you. What do we have? We have a word within a word. Come on. There's a word within a word. There's certain things that can happen to a whole region or a whole land or a whole country. It's not applicable on me. Because I have direct connections to the one who gives these words. You see, church, you and I, the church, oh, man, God's going to take care of the church. God is going to take care of the church. If the world complains about rain, I said, why do you complain about rain? Oh, you complain about rain? Well, that's not applicable on me. I'm the exception on the rule. I'm not part of that because I live by a different law. You see, the problem with your world is it's always about you, but you see, in my world, it's always about somebody else. You see, the problem with your world, with the economy, with certain nations, with politics and whatever is out there, it's always about you. You are always the number one item on the agenda, but where I come from, we bake the cake and we give it first away. We give it away. We give our first cake away. Come on. And when we give that away, we have a guarantee that you don't have. Come on. Come on. We have a guarantee the world don't have. Church, this is powerful. I'm telling you, it's time to get away from here and go there. You can preach, brother. Hey, amen. You need to learn to teach this guy, man. He's got something. But take the camera away from him. Give him a microphone. Come on. Get away from here and go there. And I'm saying to many of you today, get away from that little here in your life, that thing, that concept, that idea. Many times, if you get stuck in a certain way of thinking, it can hold you away from a guaranteed future. Powerful. Powerful. And church, this is not something I bring to you. This is something that I live by, that I live by. As I spoke it, because I didn't really know what I'm going to say, but as I spoke it, I thought to myself, my Lord, but this is exactly where I am. That's what I don't like about the Lord. When he leads you, you never know. You know, but you don't know. You're sitting at the brook, water goes down, what's next? The word of the Lord came, go to an old widow. So what am I saying to you? Your next move, your next season could be introduced by something that makes no impact. Come on. God is going to bring people into arenas that will not make an impact, but it's God. God is going to bring things into your life that will not make an impact, but it's God. Be careful that you do not come to a quick consumption or a conclusion of what you're dealing with. Discern what is standing in front of you. Jesus. Jesus. I have a miracle that's happening in our ministry now for several years. It's happening. I'm not going to tell you what it is. It's none of your business. But I just said that on purpose. But I have a miracle that's manifesting in our ministry now for several years. If I tell you how it started, and if I tell you what it is, you will probably say, is that possible? Yes, it is. Be careful. Never be led by what somebody looked like. Never be led by first impressions. Discern who is standing in front of you, and you can discover days later that you were just introduced to a major season that's going to keep you alive for many, many years to come. And I want to say to you today, it's like Pastor Michael. When you look at Pastor Michael, it's not the same man you're looking at of what he will be 10 years from now. Your future is so secure in Christ because of obedience. Humanity has been saved because Jesus were obedient. He was obedient to death. If he was not obedient to death, we would not have sat in this building. This world would have been a disaster. But because of one person's obedience, we are saved for eternity. And I want to say to you as a church, let's be obedient. And I want to say to all these pastors that I work with, let's be obedient to the impulse of the Holy Spirit. You know, 32 nations in South America, 9 in Europe. This leader that I spoke to, they blanket 175 nations. I'm not going to give you more detail. The detail is not important. But what blesses me is that when we become obedient in doing things that is beyond our understanding. Friday night I had a meeting after all this filming with leaders, and they sat down with us and they're going to introduce a plan to us that we're going to roll out into the nation. It's massive. It's bigger than my brain box. Things were set at that table of technology and what's going on that I just sat there. I said, Jesus, why do you choose the dumbest person and bring these guys next to me? And I cannot even repeat the terminology they use. But you know what I've learned? Leave it in the hands of God. An act of obedience will bring things into your life that you will not be able to articulate. But God will include you in the blessing because of obedience. Obedience. Come on. Say this: I have been obedient coming to this meeting. Now listen to this. If Elijah were not obedient to verse 1, you would not have read verse 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. That would not have existed. Can I tell you why nothing exists in the life of certain people? Because they've never been obedient. You cannot have verse 1, verse 2 to 14 without having a verse 1. Thus says the Lord, Ahab, no rain. And the moment he said it, God says, I will take care of my prophet. I will take care of his food and his eating, his protection, and I will take care of his well-being. You criticize my life, my well-being. You criticize my blessings. No, I have a verse 1. I have a verse 1 that you do not know of. I have a season of obedience where I was unpopular. I have a season where I had to run for my life. Because of what I've prophesied and what I've said. But since I started to run for my life, my Creator steps in and he said, get away and turn. Get away and turn. And God is saying this morning, get away and turn. Pray this after me. Say, I am here to restore verse 1. If you say this morning, it's not what I can get out of this. I want to restore verse 1. I want to restore obedience in my life. Stand on your feet. Come on. Come on. Don't criticize my verses. Don't criticize my 2 to 14. Come on. Because you haven't seen my verse 1. You see my bread and you see my oil. And you see birds flying to come and take care of me. And you hear about miracles in my life. You're right. But But let me show you verse 1. Come on, church. I feel the anointing so strong on this now. You say, Pastor Andre, can you give me a word and can you fix me this and can you give me a prophetic word that'll fix this and can you give me a prophetic word? No. If you have verse 1 in place, the word will come to you. You say, well, can you prophesy this morning? No, let me say, if you have verse 1 in place, he will find you tomorrow morning where I cannot even find you. It's all about verse 1. It's all about verse 1. Come on. Come on. We need verse 1 back in our life. We need the act of obedience back in our life. Now, you've done a great thing by coming here. That's the first sign that you want to be obedient. come on, church. There's a lot of things in your life that is out of control, and you're concerned about your sons and daughters. You're concerned about your food. You're concerned about tomorrow. God says, don't be concerned. If America's in trouble, it doesn't mean you're in trouble. If there's something happening nationally, it doesn't mean you're in trouble. I'm secured. I'm not affected by what happened to the nations. I'm not affected by what people do wrong in nations. I'm not affected by what could go wrong. I live from a different lifestyle. I live by giving away what I thought will keep me alive. And then I live out of what I gave away. You say, Pastor Andre, are you serious that you can do this thing through your ministry? Well, to be honest with you, what I heard Friday night, I cannot do through my ministry. It's impossible. It's too big. But I'm willing to give him a cake. I'm willing to say, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, can you take my life as a cake? I'll give it to you. And then, Lord, if you can turn my cake into something else, that's great, because God, I cannot do it, but I can give you a cake. Prophet! Elijah, I cannot help you, but I'm going to give you my last cake. I'm going to trust you, God. I'm going to trust you, Word of God. I'm going to trust you, creative Word of God. I'm going to trust you, prophet. I'm going to trust you, Elijah. I'm going to give you my cake. If I ate it, I would have died anyhow.